Welcome to Zikhu Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Zechus Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Chaf Tes, the 8th Parak, Yesh Nochlin. This daf is dedicated to Zechus Nishmas, Avi Umori, Moshe Bembero, Mez Neshama, Heaven Aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chaf Vav Amabes taught that if one instructed to divide his estate differently than the Torah's laws of inheritance, his instructions are ignored. However, if he added an expression of matana, of giving, whether at the beginning, the middle, or the end, it's valid. There are four opinions about the extent of this law. Number one, Rav Dimi quoted Rav Yochanan saying, "V'davka ba'adam echad v'sada achas." This is only true when the instructions were about one person and one field. For example, field A shall be given to Reuven, and he shall inherit it. But if it involved one person and two fields, meaning Reuven shall inherit field A and field B shall be given to him, or two people in one field, the matana phrase of one does not validate the other separate designation. Number two, Rabbi Elazar says that these cases are valid because we assume both were intended as gifts, but not if it involves two fields and two people. Number three, Ravin says Rabbi Yochanan validates even a case of two fields and two people. And number four, Reish Lakish holds a matana phrase only validates a case of two fields and two people if he used two phrases of matana, such as Reuven and Shimon shall inherit field A and field B, respectively, which I'm giving them as gifts, and they shall inherit them. Point number two, Ravashi disproves the first two opinions cited before from Abraisa, discussing one who says, Nechasai l'cho, my property shall be given to you when I die, v'acharecho yirash poni, and after you die, poni should inherit it, v'acharecho yirash poni, and after the one after you dies, poni should inherit it. The Braisa teaches that after the first recipient dies, the second person acquires it. And when the second person dies, the third person acquires it. If the second person dies before the first person's heirs inherit it. Now, this case is like designations to two fields and two people, since the second person does not receive anything while the first is alive, where the first expression was one of matana and the second was inheritance, yet even the second recipient acquires a property. The Gemara concludes that this braisa does indeed refute the opinions that do not validate the inheritance clause in a case of two fields and two people. And point number three, the Gemara asks that the braisa before should also refute Reish Lakish, who only validates a case of two fields and two people when two phrases of matana are used, since this braisa validates such a case with only one phrase of matana. The Gemara first responds that it cannot be that it refutes Reish Lakish because this is one of three instances where Rava paskens like Reish Lakish. Rather, Reish Lakish can answer that in this braisa, both expressions were said betoch kedei dibur, within the time required for speaking, meaning the time required to say shamalecho Rebbe. Since the statements were said together, the single expression of matana is assumed to also refer to the inheritance clause. Reish Lakish is discussing a case where the second statement was made la'achar kedei dibur, after the time required for speaking, and in such a case, he holds two expressions of matana are required to validate the inheritance clause. So once again, the 3 points are number one, the Mishnah Daf Kuf Chav Vav Amabes taught that if one instructed to divide his estate differently than the Torah's laws of inheritance, his instructions are ignored. However, if he added an expression of matana, of giving, whether at the beginning, the middle, or the end, it's valid. There are four opinions about the extent of this law. Number one, Rav Dimi quoted Rav Yochanan saying, "V'davka ba'adam echad v'sada achas." This is only true when the instructions were about one person and one field. For example, field A shall be given to Reuven, and he shall inherit it. But if it involved one person and two fields, meaning Reuven shall inherit field A and field B shall be given to him, or two people in one field, the matana phrase of one does not validate the other separate designation. Number two, Rabbi Elazar says that these cases are valid because we assume both were intended as gifts, but not if it involves two fields and two people. Number three, Ravin says Rabbi Yochanan validates even a case of two fields and two people. And number four, Reish Lakish holds a matana phrase only validates a case of two fields and two people if he used two phrases of matana, such as Reuven and Shimon shall inherit field A and field B, respectively, which I'm giving them as gifts, and they shall inherit them. Point number two, Ravashi disproves the first two opinions cited before from Abraisa, discussing one who says, Nechasai l'cho, my property shall be given to you when I die, v'acharecho yirash poni, and after you die, poni should inherit it, v'acharecho yirash poni, and after the one after you dies, poni should inherit it. The Braisa teaches that after the first recipient dies, the second person acquires it. And when the second person dies, the third person acquires it. If the second person dies before the first person's heirs inherit it. Now, this case is like designations to two fields and two people, since the second person does not receive anything while the first is alive, where the first expression was one of matana and the second was inheritance, yet even the second recipient acquires a property. The Gemara concludes that this braisa does indeed refute the opinions that do not validate the inheritance clause in a case of two fields and two people. And point number three, the Gemara asks that the braisa before should also refute Reish Lakish, who only validates a case of two fields and two people when two phrases of matana are used, since this braisa validates such a case with only one phrase of matana. The Gemara first responds that it cannot be that it refutes Reish Lakish because this is one of three instances where Rava paskens like Reish Lakish. Rather, Reish Lakish can answer that in this braisa, both expressions were said b'toch kedei dibur, within the time required for speaking, meaning the time required to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Since the statements were said together, the single expression of matana is assumed to also refer to the inheritance clause. Reish Lakish is discussing a case where the second statement was made la'achar kedei dibur, after the time required for speaking, and in such a case, he holds two expressions of matana are required to validate the inheritance clause. Alright, so now we go to Siman Daf Kuf Chaf Tes, and our standard siman is a cactus. A cactus. So here goes. The man who said, Reuben and Shimon shall inherit my two cactus fields, which I am giving them as gifts, and they shall inherit them, overheard his neighbor tell his friends, my cactus property shall be given to you when I die, and after you die, Pony should inherit it, making sure that the second phrase of inheritance was said tokadei dibur, of the single expression of matana. Once again, some motion. The man who said, Reuben and Shimon shall inherit my two cactus fields, cactus? That must be more Daf Kuf Chaf Tes. The man who said, Reuben and Shimon shall inherit my two cactus fields, which I'm giving them as gifts, and they shall inherit them, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Kuf Chav Vavan Beis taught that if one instructed to divide his estate differently than the Torah's laws of inheritance, his instructions are ignored. However, if he added an expression of matana, of giving, whether at the beginning, the middle, or the end, it's valid. There are four opinions about the extent of this law. For example, Reish Lakish holds, a matana phrase only validates a case of two fields and two people if he used two phrases of matana, such as Reuben and Shimon shall inherit field A and field B, respectively, which I am giving them as gifts, and they shall inherit them. So the man who said, Reuben and Shimon shall inherit my two cactus fields, which I am giving them as gifts, and they shall inherit them, overheard his neighbor tell his friends, my cactus property shall be given to you when I die, and after you die, Pony should inherit it, which reminds us, the Gemara concludes that a braisa refutes the opinions that do not validate the inheritance clause in a case of two fields and two people from the case of one who says, Nechasai l'cha, my property shall be given to you when I die, v'acharecha yirash Pony, and after you die, Pony should inherit it, v'acharecha yirash Pony, and after the one after you dies, Pony should inherit it. The braisa teaches that after the first recipient dies, the second person acquires it, and when the second person dies, the third person acquires it. So the man who said, Reuben and Shimon shall inherit my two cactus fields, which I'm giving them as gifts, and they shall inherit them, overheard his neighbor tell his friends, my cactus property should be given to you when I die, and after you die, Pony should inherit it, making sure that the second phrase of inheritance was said, Tokadei Dibur, of the single expression of matana, which reminds us, Reish Lakish agrees, one matana phrase is sufficient when the Yerusha phrase is said, Tokadei Dibur. So once again, the man who said, Reuben and Shimon shall inherit my two cactus fields, which I am giving them as gifts, and they shall inherit them, overheard his neighbor tell his friends, my cactus property shall be given to you when I die, and after you die, Pony should inherit it, making sure that the second phrase of inheritance was said, Tokadei Dibur, of the single expression of matana. All right, so now it's time for four Blabach Hazara. Daf Kuf Chaf Hei, so the symbol Daf Kuf Chaf Hei is a buck 25. So here goes. The Bechor received a double portion of the land collected for the loan, but not from the buck 25 collected for the loan. A buck 25? That must be on Daf Kuf Chaf Hei. The Bechor received a double portion of the land collected for the loan, but not from the buck 25 collected for a loan, which reminds us, the previous Daf discussed whether Bechor receives a double portion of loan payments. Rabba said it depends on what was collected. If they collected land for the loan, the Bechor does have a double portion in it. But if they collected money, he does not have a double portion in it. Since the land was meshuba to the loan, it's considered muchzak, already possessed, as opposed to money. Rav Nachman says the opposite. If money was collected, the Bechor has a double portion because it is also money which was originally borrowed. If they collect land, he does not, since land was not lent and is a new possession. Rabbi explained ultimately that both he and Rav Nachman were merely explaining the opinion of the Bnei Marav, who held the Bechor receives double in a loan payment, but they themselves hold he never does. So the Bechor who received a double portion of the land collected for the loan, but not from the buck 25 collected for a loan, and said his property should go to his grandmother after he dies and after her death to his heirs, was shocked when his daughter's husband proudly proclaimed that the property would go to him if his wife died before her grandmother did, which reminds us, a man once said, Nixa l'safta u'basu l'yarsai, my property should go to my grandmother after I die, and after her death it should go to my heirs. This man had a married daughter who died before her grandmother, and after the grandmother died, the daughter's husband came to claim the property. Rav Huna said, when the man said the property should go to my heirs, it means even to the heirs of my heirs, and the husband, who inherits his wife, is entitled to the property. Rav Anan disagreed and said the phrase l'yarsai does not include the heirs of his heirs. So the Bechor received the double portion of the land collected for the loan, but not from the buck 25 collected for a loan, and said his property should go to his grandmother after he dies and after her death to his heirs, was shocked when his daughter's husband proudly proclaimed that the property would go to him if his wife died before her grandmother did. Since Kol Omer Akarecha, Kol Omer Makshiv Dami, which reminds us, the Gemara asks if Rav Huna holds that a husband does inherit Roi, why does he say the husband receives the property after the grandmother's death if his wife never possessed it during a lifetime? Melazer explained Rav Huna's reasoning. Kol Omer Akarecha, anyone who gives a gift saying, after you should go to someone else, Kol Omer Makshiv Dami, is like saying the second recipient acquires the gift from now. Daf Kuf Chavav. So the similar Daf Kuf Chavav is a cuckoo bird clock. So here goes. The Bechor who had protested his brothers improving the estate before dividing it took the double portion of the improvements and decorated his cuckoo bird clock. Cuckoo bird clock? That must be on Daf Kuf Chavav. The Bechor who had protested his brothers improving the estate before dividing it took the double portion in the improvements and decorated his cuckoo bird clock with the grapes they had cut, which reminds us, Ravasi said, Bechor Shemicho Micho, a Bechor who protested his brothers improving the estate before dividing it, he has effectively protested and is entitled to a double portion in the improvements. Rava says this ruling is reasonable regarding grapes which they cut or olives which they harvested. Here his protest entitles him to a double portion in the harvested fruit, which is worth more after being harvested. So the Bechor who had protested his brothers improving the estate before dividing it took the double portion in the improvements and decorated his cuckoo bird clock with the grapes they had cut, was so startled when the little bird called out, you're a cuckoo Bechor if you take a share in the field like an ordinary son, which reminds us, Ravasi said, Bechor shenato chel kapashut biter, a Bechor who took a share in a field like an ordinary son, he has foregone his double portion. A Maraim debate the extent of this ruling. Rapapa quoted Rav as saying, Viter va'osa sada, he has forgone his double portion in that field only, but receives it in the rest of the estate. Rapapi quoted Rav as saying, Viter b'chol nechasim kulan, he has forgone his double portion in all the properties. So the Bechor who protested his brothers improving the estate before dividing it took the double portion in the improvements and decorated his cuckoo bird clock with the grapes they had cut, was so startled when the little bird called out, you're a cuckoo Bechor if you take a share in the field like an ordinary son, that he declared that his Bechor would not take a double portion in his estate, which reminds us, the next mission states that if one says, Pony my Bechor will not take a double portion in my estate, or Pony, my son, will not inherit with his brothers. Lomar klum. He has said nothing, and his instructions are ignored. Shehisna amasha katsa b'tor, because he has stipulated against what is written in the Torah, which is ineffective. However, if he redistributes his property to his sons as gifts, increasing one share relative to another, or equating the Bechor with the others, the gift is effective. Daf Kuf Chav Zayin. So the simmer Daf Kuf Chav Zayin is cookies. So here goes. The sad tumtum shenikra v'nimsa zachar eating cookies, that must be on Daf Kuf Chav Zayin. The sad tumtum shenikra v'nimsa zachar eating cookies to console himself for being excluded from five halachos, which reminds us, the Gemara teaches five laws which exclude a tumtum shenikra v'nimsa zachar, a tumtum whose covering was torn off and he was found to be a male. For example, Enu Notul Pishnaim, he does not take a double portion of his father's property, even if he was the firstborn. So the sad Tumtum Shenikra Benimsa Zachar eating cookies to console himself for being excluded from five halachos, together with a disappointed Safek Bechor, who discovered he can't receive a double portion, which reminds us, a Braisa Darshan's Bechor blows Safek. The Pasuk says, firstborn, teaching the double portion is not given to a Safek Bechor. This means to exclude from Rava's ruling, Shtei Nashim Shiyaldu Bei Zacharim B'machaveh, two wives of one man who gave birth in hiding, and is therefore unknown which is the Bechor. Kosvin Harsha Zelazet, they may write for each other a document empowering the other to collect on his behalf, to be able to collect the extra portion. So the sad Tumtum Shenikra V'nimsa Zachar eating cookies to console himself for being excluded from five halachos, together with the disappointed Safek Bechor, who discovered he can't receive a double portion. Was surprised when a father walked up to a friend of his sitting on their bench and announced, "This is my firstborn son," which reminds us, Abraisa darshans the word yakir, he shall recognize his firstborn son, to teach yakirenu lachirim. He can identify him to others. From here, Rabbi Yehuda said, "Neman adam lomar zebini bechor." A person is believed to say, "This is my firstborn son," even when it was presumed otherwise. Similarly, he's also believed to identify his son as a chalal. The Chachamim say he cannot identify his Bechor against presumption, nor disqualify his son. Daf Kuf Chav Ches. So the Simur Daf Kuf Chav Ches is 100 strong men. So here goes. The 100 strong men. 100 strong men. That must be learned Daf Kuf Chav Ches. The 100 strong men who refused to accept testimony from a blind man, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses giving testimony after becoming blind. Abraisa teaches a general rule, Kol shetchilaso osofu bepasulus pasul, any testimony whose beginning, meaning the witnessing, or the end, the delivery of the testimony, was in a disqualified state, is invalid. If he was qualified both at the beginning and at the end, the testimony is valid. This apparently superfluous rule teaches that a blind man may never testify. So the 100 strong men who refused to accept testimony from a blind man, that their father said his wife should receive an equal portion in their inheritance, which reminds us, Rabbi Abba sent Rav Yosef Bar Chama, if one says, Tito ishti ke'echad min habanim, my wife should take a share of my estate like one of my sons, no tell us ke'echad min habanim, she takes a share like one of the sons. This directive was either given by Shechimei Ra, a gravely ill person, whose verbal instructions can transfer property, or the transfer was effected through a kinyan. Rava clarified, this gift only applies to properties he owns now at the time of his instructions. So the 100 strong men refused to accept testimony from a blind man that their father said his wife should receive an equal portion in their inheritance, went to Basin where they wait in line behind a man swearing that he paid half, even though Adim testified that he paid in full, which reminds Rabbi Abba sent Rabbi Yossi Bar Chama, if a lender withdraws a loan document against his friend, saying he wasn't paid, and the borrower says he paid half, and then witnesses testify he paid it fully, or is it nishma, the borrower swears that he paid half, like an ordinary partial admission, the gova mechsim and nechasim b'nei chorin, and the lender collects half from the borrower's own properties based on the borrower's admission. He cannot collect from properties the borrower sold to others because they can say, anan an edim samachinan, we rely on the witnesses who said the loan was paid in full. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do you discuss what the din is when a borrower says he paid half a loan in a shtar and witnesses testify he paid it fully? That's on daf. Kuf Chav Ches. Good. Number two, which stuff do we have in Malchus about taking a double portion in Shavach from after the father's death? That's on daf. Kuf Chav Dalet. Good. Number three, which stuff do you have a case where one says, my property shall be given to you when I die, and after you die, Pony should inherit it, and after the one after you dies, Pony should inherit it? That's on daf. Kuf Chav Tes. Good. Number four, which stuff do we learn a tumtum shenikra v'nimsa zachar is excluded from various halachas such as Bechorah? That's on daf. Kuf Chav Zayin. Good. Number five, which stuff do we learn that Leah preceded Rachel and the Bechorah through crying for Rachmim not to marry Esav? That's on daf. Kuf Chav Gimel. Good. Number six, which daf when Reish Lakish agrees one matana phrase is sufficient when it is tokeni dibur of the Yerusha phrase? That's on daf. Kuf Chav Tes. Good. Number seven, which daf do we learn that Yaakov Avinu saw that Esav's offspring is only destined to be given into the hands of Yosef's offspring? That's on daf. Kuf Chav Gimel. Good. Number eight, which daf brings four opinions when a matana phrase can validate a redistribution of one's estate? That's on daf. Kuf Chav Tes. Good. Number nine, which daf do the incident of the Safta whose married granddaughter died before receiving her property? That's on daf. Kuf Chav Hey. Good. Number 10, which daf do you discuss giving testimony after becoming blind? That's on daf. Kuf Chav Ches. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.